for joining us today. Caring about your world, wanting to know more, wanting to do better, and asking the right questions. We're talking today with Clifford Carnicom. Clifford Carnicom is probably the most well-known person involved with the chemtrail-contrail issue. And if anything has been done on that, it's totally due to him. I mean, seriously, he has stayed with this for so long. His website is carnicominstitute.org, and I really appreciate him joining us today. Thank you so very much, Clifford, for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Joyce, thanks very much for the chance to be with you. Again, it's been a little while, and I think very highly of you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. It's been a long time since we've talked.
It is. I would like to mention, you know, there are certainly many other people working on this project and problem. And in fact, that's very much what's required. It's very unlikely that the problems we're facing can be solved in any one realm, certainly within the limited resources that I would have available. So I would like to give credit really to all those people that are working on this, and that group and circle continues to grow very quickly as we realize how serious these issues are.
And they are very serious, and we now know about it because of the work that you've done. For the person that is new to the Power Hour, doesn't know what we talk about when we talk about contrail, chemtrail, or aerosol crimes, what are we referring to here? What have you been studying so hard for the last 10 years?
Well, what we're speaking about is a deliberate alteration of our planet in a general sense. And that means in a very grand sense that I'm speaking of also. The origin of the problem is the discovery and introduction of massive amounts, and we're talking on a global scale here. Massive amounts of particulate, extremely fine particulate matter, more formally known as aerosols, that have been deliberately and systematically distributed into the atmosphere. The mechanism for distribution is essentially with aircraft. Okay, this is not unusual. Actually, if you go back to the close of World War II, aerosols have been used to conduct various experiments since it was possible to be done. You were the one that gave me a very, very interesting and important document written in 1977 that documents many of those type of experiments. So there's nothing unheard of here in terms of the basic principle, and that is the distribution of particulate matter over a wide area to accomplish certain results. In this case, the results are much more exhaustive, comprehensive, and intensive than any kind of experiment, and I would have to say that we're not talking about an experiment here in any way. We're talking about the deployment, the actual establishment of a major system of completely altering and managing the environment of this planet. And the atmosphere was the start of that. Along with that, we will find the issue gets much more complex than that, and will involve numerous potential endeavors and agendas, and will at some point have to include the discussion of introduction of biological components into that same mix, which has led to an extension of the gravity of the problem in a tremendous way. So that's a basic issue involved here, systematic, deliberate alteration and control of the environment, and eventually all health and biology of the planet that depends upon it.
You know, I always say that when I was a little girl, I'd lay on my back, as children did, and watch a contrail come across the sky. By the time it reached the opposing part of the sky, it was gone on the initial side. It was beginning to dissipate. And then as I got older and older, in the Air Force, I would see the same thing. But then about 96, for me, that all changed. 96, 95 time frame, that all changed, because those contrails that would appear on one side of the sky, by the time they got to the other, they were just as thick, if not thicker, on the initial side of the sky. So I begin to realize, wait a minute, what is going on here? It's as if everything has changed. So what changed?
Well, it's interesting, but there are some cases where people will report, they'll say, well, they have a photograph of something back in the 1950s where you'll have a trail from an aircraft that will stay, and then they'll use that as an argument to try and explain the massive systematic operation that has taken place now. The physics of let's say, aerosols has not changed and has been in existence since they have been in existence, and we're probably talking, three billion years. So the physics have not changed. What's happened is the scale and the deliberate injection of these particles. But the basic physics are that if you have a small enough particle, and I mean quite small, we're talking a submicron particle, if you have a small enough particle, it serves as they call it a nuclei, a condensation nuclei, but that water can attach to. And this is the basis of clouds. Clouds do not form in completely clean air. They need aerosols in order to form. The upper atmosphere where the commercial aircraft and military aircraft fly is not traditionally or customarily considered a dirty environment. It does not have that aerosol base. So when you introduce that aerosol base artificially, you provide a basis of condensation nuclei for moisture to attract to. That's the basic change that's taking place here. That type of aerosol bank would not normally form at the upper atmosphere of 35,000, 40,000 feet because it's generally a very dry and generally more clean portion of the atmosphere than the mid-layer where clouds form. So what has changed is the introduction of, you know, from a technical standpoint, condensation nuclei that allow for that moisture to basically coalesce and attach in a way that it never could in a normal fashion. So, that's the basic change that allows for it. And then the question is, what type of condensation nuclei, or what are the particles made of? That opens up that question, and I'll say this, that if you had a particle that was attracted to water in addition to being the right size, in other words, an example would be a salt. If you had a metallic salt and you had something that absorbed water, of which there are such salts, then you enhance the situation. And this is what the evidence shows, that one of the primary and dominant components of the introduction is that of extremely fine, water-loving metallic salts that are subject to what is called ionization or electrical charge, electrical charging through release of ions with ultraviolet light. So there is a physical basis for what's happening, and it can be understood and explained, and it's not just something that is. It has a cause and it has a reason, and we're at the point where those basic physics can certainly be understood at this point.
You know, this is one, the Carnicom Institute is one of the organizations I hope you all will support, because Cliff has been doing the research to bring about the answers, as many as we can find, and he works literally day and night on this. And I hope you go to his website at carnicominstitute.org and support his organization. Now, he didn't ask me to say that. I want you to do that, because I want the people that have got the ability and the knowledge to do this to do it, because we want to know. We want to find out. The bottom line of all of this is what? What is happening? Are we having research done on us? Are we having experimental substances placed in the air? Is this anti-terrorism so the bad guys can't get us? I mean, what's the reason that you think at this point that this is happening, Clifford?
Well, I think it's far beyond call it a research stage. I would call an implementation at this point. Of a system of management and control of the environment in the broadest sense. Now, I'm known for over this 12 to 13 years having established about seven areas, and I'm not saying that it's restricted to that, but roughly seven areas of application, I would call it. These serve as motivations for this project. People will have to decide for themselves what is actually happening or not, because none of these are exclusive of one another. It could be any or all of them, and could be more. My list is seven areas of application over the years, and it's based upon the data. It's based upon study and analysis over 12 to 14 years. If I have time, I'll go through the seven real quickly, and then we could pick whatever.
Okay, let's do
that. The greatest interest, but the first would be that of environmental modification and control. The classic weather control would be a part of this. There are those that think that weather control would quote encompass this entire project. My work does not show that at all, but it is one. Environmental modification control would be the first. The second would be that of biological operations. These are also not in order of necessarily priority. Third would be electromagnetic applications. Fourth would be military applications. Fifth would be literally the consideration of geophysical or planetary considerations. It gets involved with, and these cross over when you get into electromagnetics and ELF, you get into tectonic applications and this type of thing. The sixth would be that, this is based on conceptual more than, let's say, the actual data because we don't have it, but conceptually that of a surveillance system, a sophisticated surveillance system that would depend upon the use of light waves versus radio waves. And the seventh would be that of detection of what you call propulsion systems, ionic disturbances in a plasma state. The common vernacular would be UFOs or exotic propulsion systems. Those are seven areas where over a rather painstaking process of 12 to 14 years, data and analysis has accumulated to provide a basis for each one of these applications. And again, they overlap with one another, and none of them excludes the other, and it is expected or anticipated that some or all of these applications are in operation, along with others that have not even been considered yet. So now, anyone that tries to restrict this, let's say, to a simple case of weather modification, I think, personally, is missing a great deal of the data that's available to us.
Interesting. Boy, that says a lot, what you just gave us in those seven reasons. When we come back, we're going to talk about those reasons and how to identify the contrail chemtrail, the aerosol crime that's being done to us, with our guest, Clifford Carnicombe. Stay tuned. It's 19 after the hour. We'll be right back. This is Joyce Riley.
This is not a drill.
Repeat,
this is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now. Right now.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
In the past, I've taken a lot of different vitamins, some through health food stores, some that friends recommend.
Colleen talking about her experience with Super Sea Veg.
And with the Super Sea Veg, I was seeing a lot better results.
Super Sea Veg with Vita D and C-Cal is the most powerful dietary food supplement in the world today, and nothing else comes close.
Super Sea Veg is a whole food that makes me feel good.
Think of Super Sea Veg as the un-vitamin.
I have taken other things, and they just didn't work. This seems to work for me.
And Super Sea Veg comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee.
Store-bought vitamins do not have the supplement and the full, whole feeling I have from Super Sea Veg.
Get 15% off your first purchase on our website, SuperSeaVeg.com. That's Super, SeaVeg.com. At checkout, enter coupon code UNVITAMIN. Or place your order at 866-SEA-VEG. That's 866-732-8344. Eating Super Sea Veg daily is eating right.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world. If you want to know about chemtrails or contrails and you don't understand it, this is really not the beginning program to listen to. The website to go to is carnicominstitute.com or carnicominstitute.org. It is at the section of the guest section. It's also at the email blast. It'll all be in the email blast. There is a research area there that will give you just about everything that you possibly need to know, at least of what we know now. So let me encourage you to do your own homework on that, because we can't do the 101. Clifford's been doing this for 10 years now, and thank goodness he has stuck by this. Because he's, you know, like we were talking during the break, he's got to make a living on his own. He can't devote the time that he would like to this. But you know what? You can help him out. If you support him, go to carnicominstitute.org and help support Clifford. The more he does, the more he gives us. That's one thing about Clifford, is he's always been very forthcoming about his information. And he and Dr. Gwen Scott have worked together in the past before, and a lot of the information from both of them is on his website. So please go to carnicominstitute.org. You know, one of the things that we want to know is, or one of the things that, you know, the vested interest, the selfish thing, what are they doing to us? Are they harming us? Is the question that most people have when we consider these things that are in the sky. Your response to that, Clifford?
Without any question whatsoever, the answer is yes. Great harm is being done. Great harm is being done to the planet as well as our own personal interest. But really, we need to think about the planet as a whole, and that means all biology, and that means all systems, all the ecosystem in general. I should mention very briefly, if I can, Joyce, that the .org is our site. It's come to my attention that somebody has called what you call hijacked or scalped the .com site, which we don't own. So you can call that a misleading direction if anyone were to go to the .com site. The website will be carnicominstitute.org, since we are a nonprofit organization. So
okay.
Don't be distracted by any detours that someone might be leading you to. But in terms of your question, categorically, absolutely and positively, yes, harm is being done. And we can take that at very simple levels, and then we could progress into rather complex and, unfortunately, very potentially sinister issues that are involved. But on the simplest level, to help people understand how harm can be done, the simple fact is, if you breathe an increased amount of particulate matter, more people will die. I'll say it that bluntly and that simply. Those studies will come from the Johns Hopkins, American Medical Association. It's straightforward that the body is expected to handle a certain amount of particulate matter, and there is a very direct relationship. I've sort of done that study. There's a very direct relationship between increased particulate matter in the atmosphere and mortality. And the simplest way of assessing that for yourself is with the visibility of your air. If your air is dirty, more of you will die. I'm sorry, if I could be more graceful about it, I would be. But that's just a fact, and this is why humanity has taken an interest, at least presumably over the years, of safeguarding our environment and cleaning up our air. If we ask, you know, why were all the the environmental laws passed, this is the reason, because humans create pollution, and pollution has a consequence, and so we need to try to make amends for it. And there certainly has been periods where progress has been made, but you will find that that situation has deteriorated dramatically over the last 15 years, particularly with respect to atmospheric quality, and that will be a consequence of that. That's at the simplest level of ingestion on a mechanical basis of particulate matter. More of us will die. Unfortunately, that's the truth. Now, you have to then start adding on the complexity of what are the particulate materials made of. What are they? Is it inert? Is it something that has no effect at all and it's just like breathing a piece of small sand? Or is it composed of something? Is it composed of something that might dissolve in water? Is it composed of something that's toxic? Okay? So these are now you will have to start learning about the chemistry. And you need to know this, obviously. You need to know what the material is. So these are basic questions that need to be answered that have not even been taken on in a proper way. The Environmental Protection Agency and all government agencies have completely ignored and dismissed the numerous demands by, literally, it has to be at the hundreds of thousands. Now, in terms of requests for investigation on this issue, it's been completely ignored, and that history is all there for people to see.
That's amazing.
But you don't have the answer to very basic questions other than that can be provided by independent researchers like myself or other people. Unfortunately,
okay.
The information indicates that it is toxic.
Okay, we got to go to this break. Carnicominstitute.org. We'll be back 29 after the hour. This is Joyce Riley, 3-minute break.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
You know that drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. 33 minutes after the hour, please support the Power Mall. We always say, buy from the good guys. Buy from each other. Buy from the people that are doing the next right thing. Support the people that are doing the next right thing. And I don't think there's anybody any more deserving than Clifford Carnicom for the work that he is doing. So I really encourage you to support him at CarnicomInstitute.com. It'll be in the email blast. All that information will be there. Clifford, we had recently, and I'm not going to go into any of the promotions for the Power Mall, but I do hope you will purchase from the Power Mall so we can continue to bring you shows like this. But please purchase from the Power Mall at 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, or go to thepowermall.com. Recently we had, in Missouri, it got the attention of the media here, planes that were flying circles that started out looking like they were above our house over the Lake of the Ozarks area. They were just big circles in the sky. One person counted about 9 aircraft that were making these big circles. I mean, it just looked like so bizarre because it was so well formed. And the news media was called. The news media said, oh, yeah, that's the stealth bomber doing some trial runs or something. Well, the stealth bomber doesn't look like that. And anyway, it didn't make any sense. A lot of people did not agree with what that was. If you were to look up in the sky and just see planes making circles in the sky, what would your thoughts be about that?
It makes no sense from a commercial standpoint of view. It costs a lot of money to fly an aircraft, and it's not a recreational occupation. And so it makes no sense, basically. You know, that particular structure and framework would imply a dissemination over a regional or local area there. That's what it implies. It makes no sense, and you know, my work is, people can debate the aircraft issue, you know, all they want, and they'll have to make their decisions. But, you know, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous to try and deny both the physics as well as the observations of and now we're speaking of millions of people at this point of 14 years that have been just systematically denied. It is an operation. It is in place. It's been in place for 12 to 14 years, and our environment has been altered as a result of it. You know, with your question of harm, there's a couple of things I could very briefly say, and this is still just on the particulate level. But, you know, for those that do have an interest, I would say there's 3 levels of harm that you would consider just with the particulate issue alone. And the first would be the mechanical breathing or ingestion of it, as we talked about. The second would be, what's it made of? And the evidence indicates that these materials are toxic, they are metallic, and they are soluble. And so if you are ingesting a toxic, metallic, soluble salt, barium is barium salts are certainly at the top of the list, now your problem increases when you asked about harm. Because barium, the toxicity of barium is soluble forms, is on the same level as that as arsenic. You know, I'm not a fearmonger. I simply go by the facts as best that I can identify them. And obviously everything depends upon levels and this type of thing, but nevertheless, a toxic metallic soluble salt is not the same thing as an inert insoluble material. The third level of harm that we should consider is that when you have a particulate matter there, when you have that, it serves as a base or a vehicle for the transport of other materials, specifically and namely biological materials. The term piggyback would come to mind. And you hop a ride, okay? Biological components and bacteria and virus attach to and latch on to particulate matter. This is another reason that you would want clean air, right? So that opens up a whole other area of biological consideration. It has nothing to do with the nature of the particulate matter. So, you know, when you talk about harm, it's very real what we're talking about, and this is still at the elementary level of discussion because we're still just talking about the physical material. You know, we're not talking about anything about electromagnetic properties of that material. So it's a very relevant question that you're asking people to selfishly consider to get themselves started about what is the harm being done. And then at some point, I would ask that they extend their consideration beyond their own body and their own self and start thinking about the planet and the existence and viability of this planet as a whole.
Now, we know that we could get into all other side issues that are directly correlated to this, directly or indirectly correlated to this, such as Morgellons disease. And I don't want to do that now simply because this is on the contrail issue. So I apologize for even bringing it up. However, I do have to ask the question, what is Cliff Carnicom and his family doing to protect themselves from any more damage than is necessary? Is there anything that you're doing specifically for yourself that you might be able to tell us about?
Well, I guess I would refer people to a paper. It's quite exhaustive. It took me 7 months to write that paper altogether. And the paper is titled, Morgellons, a thesis. It's quite involved, but it basically identifies the problem with iron, one of many problems, but a fundamental problem taking place with the hijacking of the iron in our body by a particular structure or biological structure or organism. Now, to answer that question, I would refer them to that paper because you will find it's a long paper. It's 35 pages or so. But at the end of that paper, you will find a list of about seven, what I would call strategies, that to me make sense. Again, from an analysis point of view, make sense in terms of how we can start making, progress in counteracting some of the health effects here. Now, the interesting thing to me over the years now as I'm studying this is that many of the strategies actually they come back to basic understanding of health and disease. In other words, I have learned that many of us want a quick fix to things in life. If we have a problem, we'd love to, this is how medicine has approached with giving somebody a pill and solving your problems. What I have learned is that the consequences of these biologic forms, they're wide and broad in the body, so that we need to consider health from truly a holistic standpoint. It's really what I've come. We have to understand disease, and many of the common things that we know are good with respect to health. They apply here also, and it actually becomes a commitment in our lives to learning about health, which I know a lot of your show has focused on over the years, and people need to consider from a holistic standpoint of health rather than, say, a simple fix for a problem, because it's not going to happen from what I see. It's far too complex. And you will find issues, of oxidation and iron and blood. All of these things will be in that list of seven things or so at the bottom of this, enzymes. And it's starting to understand how the body works and how disease works within the body, and to learn how to counteract that, not by taking a specific drug or pill, but by learning to build up our immune systems and having the body function, the digestive system and the bile system and the alkalization. And that's what a big part of the summary of that paper is to introduce those health issues on a broader sense that we need to all educate ourselves on. And I know that's a generalized response, but truly the problem is not a simple fix, and it's been quite an education for me as well in terms of health issues.
All right. When you look at a chemtrail or a contrail or whatever you want to call it, when you look at this outside your house or in the sky and you walk outside, how do you determine if it's perhaps a military experiment related to electromagnetics, related to environmental control of the weather, any of those things? Do you kind of decipher and see for yourself something that's happening out there in the sky?
Well, I'm an analytical person, at least in part by nature. And so, I look at that problem from an analytical standpoint and a physical standpoint. And I simply am aware and comprehend that there is a method by which, that alteration can take place if you do the right thing. And not right in terms of moral, but right in terms of physically making it happen. And that's being done. And that work has been done so many years ago that I have to leave that for other people to examine that for themselves, basically. But the physics of that are known at this point. And I can talk about that in great detail if you'd like. But the way I see it at this point is that this is implemented. The atmosphere has been altered. I don't look at it as a single event that's affecting that particular location. I've drawn the analogy many times that if you were to put like a single drop of food coloring in a bathtub full of water, what happens to that food coloring? And what it does is it seeks an equilibrium. It's a fluid environment. And over time, even though you can't see it, that food coloring will be equally distributed amidst that entire aqueous environment. So it seeks an equilibrium. The atmosphere is the same thing. It's a fluid, what's called a fluid environment, and it will seek an equilibrium in the concentration of those materials, that particulate matter, over time. So yes, you could have regional operations and local operations. In fact, the HARP project talks about the precipitation of precipitates, you know, dropping them down in a certain regional area. So it certainly can be done. But on a broad scale, the concentration of these particulates in the atmosphere now extends on a global basis. The entire atmosphere has been changed. And yes, you can have regional variation and distribution, but I don't view it as an isolated single event necessarily affecting a single location. You have wind currents and, you know, what they call the descent rate of the particulate can be anywhere from hours to weeks to months to even years if it's small enough. So I view it, I guess, in a broader sense, I guess. Now, there are questions. There are serious questions as to whether or not a specific area can be affected very quickly. And I would say the evidence indicates that it can. However, I think that it's more likely that you need to be considering electromagnetic aspects of it rather than just the physical distribution of the material.
Are there any symptoms that seem to be aligned with this, such as, I know I'm ringing in my ears much, much more than ever before, and I wonder if there aren't some symptom or some way that we can describe what these are doing to people, what the chemtrails are doing to people.
Well, I think there is a pattern. Again, the studies are never being done properly. The CDC has just issued a report on some of its work here, which is an absolute disaster and failure in terms of what they have done. And so we rely on anecdotal information and, you know, groupthink going on, which is not the way to be doing things. But sure, there are certain things that have come across. The chronic cough and flu situation, you know, the 1-800-I-GOT-FLU telephone number thing where you call in because they're expecting to monitor people on a larger scale basis. I actually view it as a systematic attack on the immune system of the body. And just as I was saying before, that the body is a whole. It's a system. And we cannot look at individual parts. Every single part of your body, the act breathing alone, I mean, our health and our being alive depends upon breathing, respiration. It's the whole basis of life. The formation of energy is breathing. And if you disrupt that process or disturb it in some way, you therefore disturb all processes of life that depend upon it. And that means energy formation and consumption in all ways. It means, you know, it means cellular integrity. It means oxygen transport. It means everything. So yes, we know we have certain problems that come up, you know, chronic coughs. Okay, what are the effects of toxic metals in our system? But unfortunately, again, I see no simple, quick fix to this problem unless we're willing to understand the true nature of it.
And how do we do, what can the average person do? Well, let me open up the phone lines. I know people want to talk to you, and we only have time for a few phone calls. But 855-995-6923, for some of those of you that have really followed this issue, 855-995-6923. I'll try to get in as many as possible. What can the average person do, Clifford? What can we do as an individual?
Okay, I know I speak too general for some people, and they may not like it, but it's the way that I think. And my answer to that question is, what are your strengths? What are your talents as a person? What do you do in this life? And then you take those skills, you take those talents, and you apply them, okay? You don't expect other people to do it for you, you apply them. I'm one person, I have one small organization in place, a nonprofit organization. If you go to our website, you'll see a place called Volunteer. You'll see a big button on it that says Volunteer. And then if you read that, you'll see a list of probably 50 things that this organization needs right now, okay, to get things done. and you will find it encompasses just about any skill that any human being has on this planet.
Excellent.
Whether it's of a scientific nature, whether it's of a communication nature, whether it's of an administrative nature. I mean, you go ahead and look at the list, basically. But this is one small organization seeking help to grow on this problem.
Yes, that is perfect. Let me go to, that is a good idea. You can go there. And remember, those of you who can't do it, can't help, can donate, please. Let's go to David in Texas. David in Texas, you're on the air with Cliff Carnicom. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you, Joyce.
Uh-huh.
I love your show. I'm an old-time listener and first time I've called, but this subject is of great interest to me. In North Texas, where I live, I see these chemtrails often. Every few months, there seems to be some sort of pattern with the calendar. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, I know clearly what they are. They are chemtrails as opposed to contrails. I'd like to ask Clifford, first of all, what are the altitudes of these aircraft?
Okay.
First, are they possibly drones? Because it's become increasingly difficult to see the aircraft.
That's a good question. Okay, Clifford, your response?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, absolutely, it's possible they're drones. In fact, that question has come up very early in the game. Since you don't have direct access to the aircraft, you really have to wonder about what's the system of management and control. But nevertheless, first question, it might vary by location. I can only speak for what I have done. But the very early work, if you look at it, will estimate the altitude of those aircraft through photographic means. And the work showed that those aircraft, every one that was measured and documented, it was roughly between 35 and 40,000 feet, namely the upper level of commercial aircraft, basically where planes fly, jet aircraft fly. It's a little bit on the upper level side of that. And I know there's people that say, you know, the aircraft are seen down at 5,000 feet. All I can say is not here in the areas that I watch and observe over the years, and it's right at the upper limit of commercial aircraft traffic. In terms of drones, absolutely feasible. And I don't know if people are aware of the level of drone activity in this country now, but just from a surveillance side, it's a regular thing. This is not a little pilot project also, but there are drones operating on a regular basis on the surveillance side. That technology is well in place, and there's no reason at all to think that it's not established at full aircraft size as well.
Okay. We'll be back after this break. I sent him a picture of the at his website or his email address. I sent Clifford a picture of the circles above the Power Hour. Just out of curiosity, if you have a chance to look at that, Clifford. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Final segment coming up with the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley.